defense system in Europe are aimed at countering its nuclear arsenal, says time for negotiation is running out. This is NPR.
WCVE Public Radio. Jeff Shapiro joins us now from the Richmond Times-Dispatch for his Friday morning analysis of the Virginia political news. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Wayne.
Welcome back. Well, it appears the state Senate finally has a budget document on which it can act. What got the gears unfrozen so it could move forward?
Well, with apologies to author Joan Didion, we are slouching towards a budget, much like slouching towards Bethlehem. One of those things that perhaps only the politicians can explain. All of the Sturm und Drang of the session, you know, kind of that do-nothing, but very noisy do-nothing approach to budgeting, being back among the people helped them focus a bit on the primary business of the legislature, and that is passing a budget. The budget that's headed to the Senate is... includes some of the things the Democrats sought, some toll relief, but some of the more high-profile stuff, for example, $3 million to help low-income women pay for those mandatory ultrasounds if they're planning on terminating a pregnancy, that's not in there. So there will be a lot of floor votes on Monday when the Senate returns, an opportunity for the parties to kind of cast the customary votes and spotlight their core values, and then it's off to conference with the House. And there are going to be some big differences. Governor McDonnell is trying to keep the pressure on. I guess you could describe him as a bit of a recovering obstructionist, since as a delegate and attorney general, he was closely associated with kind of the antis in the budget debate that led to all of those long fights in 01, in 04, and again in 06. And there's a footnote to all of this. There's a fix proposed for the Virginia retirement system, the public employee pension fund, of course, that's very expensive. And now local governments are pressing McDonnell and the legislature, to retreat on that because they say the cost is just too high for the counties and the cities.
We have about 4 minutes. There was a poll this week that showed several interesting things. The popularity of Governor McDonnell and the General Assembly have both dropped sharply since this year's General Assembly session. President Obama would defeat any of his potential Republican opponents in the general election, were it held now. And the Senate race would be a virtual tie if the two best-known candidates who are yet to receive their party's nominations wind up facing each other.
Yeah, well, let's start with Bob McDonnell in the General Assembly.
Right.
Here is clear evidence that overreach, that's Bob McDonnell's word, has taken its toll on his standing and the legislature. The Quinnipiac University poll shows that Virginians don't like those mandatory ultrasounds for women planning abortions. They don't like, and in both cases, a majority of Virginians don't like, a repeal of the one handgun a month law. Now, McDonald's approval rating has fallen to 53% from 58%, and nearly 50% disapprove of the General Assembly's performance. It's all beginning to sound very Washington-like, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
There is as well... the effect that the polls have on the public narrative. Now one will hear people say, you know, did you hear about Bob McDonnell? Did you know that the General Assembly is held in low esteem? And particularly in the governor's case, that's what makes all this, so damaging to his standing and his self-image. And, of course, remember, this is the guy who thinks he should be the next vice president. The presidential race,
no.
That's clearly a consequence of this gender gap that is bringing down Bob McDonald. There are lots of women who are moving towards the Democrats, and that seems to be helping Kane somewhat against George Allen for the Senate, though, as you point out, that is a statistical tie. Bottom line, of course, in the Senate races, it is closely coupled with the presidential campaign in this state.
Right, and Virginia now being a purple or swing state, that's a very interesting polling finding, I think. Virginia always has enjoyed a reputation for relatively corruption-free government, but a survey this week disclosed some potential weaknesses in that honest government fabric.
Yes, the Center for Public Integrity giving Virginia a failing grade on ethics and suggesting that it is potentially among the most corrupt states in the nation. Now, a lot of this has to do with the fact that there just aren't a lot of laws that prevent a lot of things that go on in Virginia that might be illegal elsewhere. There are a couple of points I think that need to be made. One, when you have full-time lobbyists exercising their influence over part-time legislators, it's pretty clear who has the upper hand. There is one other bright spot, or one bright spot, and that is the investigative arm of the General Assembly. JLARC is spotlighted as a counterweight to all of the influences, particularly those big dollar influences.
Well, are there any plans to plug any of these loopholes in those laws?
One is not hearing anything about that, though one would have to wonder, does this become one of those talking points in the campaigns ahead, particularly the campaigns for governor in 2013?
Mm-hmm. Well, our time's just about gone for this time, Jeff, so thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again next time. Jeff analyzes the Virginia political news each Friday morning at this time here on WCVE's Morning Edition. And by the way, in about half hour or so, we'll publish today's live conversation at ideastations.org/radio/archive. Thanks, Jeff.
You bet.
It's 8:40.